This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Wentworth Kings Meadow, the show that is glad to be back, even if our family is missing two of its members. Now, following a frustrating 2-2 draw with Real Madrid in Spain, Chelsea had no time to feel sorry for themselves with the visit of an impressive Liverpool side under the management of former Chelsea manager Matt Beard. It took just 12 minutes before Chelsea took the lead, though with Lauren James benefited from Sophie Ingle's excellent pass. Liverpool, though, hit back with the impressive Van der Sanden, forcing Jess Carter into an uncharacteristic mistake. She got in behind Chelsea's back line and her cross was bundled into the Chelsea net off Carter's leg as she desperately tried to recover. Chelsea, though, were unfazed and got back in front 10 minutes later. Academy superstar Aggie Beaver-Jones heading home from a Lauren James cross, then attacking the Matthew Harding end in the second half. Chelsea came to life with Lauren James scoring her second from an almost impossible angle and getting her first Chelsea hat-trick soon after turning Johanna Rittan-Cameron's cross into the net. Shirka Niskanen put the cherry on the cake after more good play from Cameron on the right-hand side, ensuring that after this weekend's results, Chelsea remained the only unbeaten side in the league. But Saturday belonged to one player, a hat-trick hero, Miss Lauren James. And the title of the show tonight, Wentworth Kings Meadow, episode number 111, is Keeping Up With The Jameses. And thankfully, it is not just me here tonight, as we will be without Jane and Dane for a little while. I'm joined by Mr. Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you again.
Evening. Dean, evening everyone, evening Clayton, good to be back. Thanks for having me back as well.
Yeah, good to see the Wi-Fi is stable this time.
It's all right so far. I've got the cans out.
Yeah, we'll touch wood on that.
The cans in the street.
Yeah, we are joined by a Chelsea fan cast favourite, Mr. Clayton Beerman. Clayton, good to see you.
Yeah, Andrew, mate, thanks very much for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a good one after a good result. Now, remember, you can listen to the show live every Tuesday at around 8 p.m. Joining with the show via the live chat page by heading to Mixlr. That's mixlr.com and searching for Wentworth Kings Meadow. Now, on the show tonight, in part one, we look at Chelsea's impressive performance. I haven't changed this bit of the script against Liverpool. We're also going to talk about the attendance issue. And in part two, we're going to have a little preview ahead of the game against Paris FC this Thursday, and we're going to do all that after this. Should we just get straight into it then? Chelsea lining up for this one in a 4-2-3-1 formation with Sechura Mizrovic back in goal. Yeah. A back four of Yves Perisse, Maren Mjelde and Neve Charles. Sorry, that's wrong as well, isn't it? Should be Jess Carter in there. Sophie Ingle and Aaron Cuthbert partnered in the midfield with Aggie Beaver-Jones, Serkan Niskan and Lauren James, but with Sam Kerr in attack. Get there, I've only got 10 players in that team. Emma Hayes made full use of her 5 available substitutions, with Johanna Ritten-Cambridge replacing Aggie Beaver-Jones in the 64th minute. On 75 minutes, Ashley Lawrence and Mia Fischel came on for Charles and Kerr, and then in the 81st minute, Jesse Fleming and Frank Kirby were introduced for Niskan and Cuthbert. That left Anne Katrenberger, Hannah Hampton and Nick Nowen and Kadisha Buchanan as the unused subs. Stats-wise, Chelsea had 60% possession, 19 shots, 10 on target, 9 corners and 6 fouls to Liverpool's 40% possession, 10 shots, 4 on target, 2 corners and 11 fouls. Now, Clayton, this season, every week we were talking about who starts in goal, because it is one of the most interesting things about the team. Mitrovic back in goal after Berger's error in midweek. Would you think, is the number one position that cutthroat? You know, a mistake by Berger, she's straight out, or this is the rotation that we're going to see all season?
I think it's the rotation you're going to see all season. I don't think it's down, because, I mean, yeah, okay, she's not great with her feet. We know that, AKB, but that goal wouldn't have happened had there not been a huge deflection. So I'm not sure that's the reason she wasn't in. I think that is just rotation and keeping things fresh. I'm baffled. I'm really baffled because I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's good, but we don't lose. So until we lose and you can actually say it was her fault, it was either Musso's fault or AKB's fault, then it's just keeping it fresh, keeping them on their toes. I don't think there's a huge amount to choose between them. I think they've both got their strengths and they've both got their weaknesses.
Yeah, Simon, what's your thoughts on that? And obviously, I think we're going to pretty soon see Hannah Hampton thrown into that mix as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting article in The Guardian that I'd seen online, and it was about the with Stuart Sell, and it was about the menstrual cycle training that they do, and he was saying that sometimes it can be that sort of thing in training, one of them or have the dropsies, and it's all to do with menstrual cycles and where they are in their different phases. So I wondered whether it was a wheel sort of thing, that's it, 4 games, chop and change a goalkeeper, but whether that plays into it a little bit as well with them, the science of it, rather than just we'll give another goalkeeper a chance. But yeah, it was an interesting rate.
Yes, it would be 3 games for Mitrovic at the start, 3 then for Berger.
Yeah, yeah. So it sort of fits into a bit of a pattern. Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, well, maybe one day we'll find out when Emma leaves at the end of the season. She might start revealing her secrets.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Clayton, the other sort of, I suppose, surprise or talking point was Millie Bright left out. At the time, we didn't know why. But for me, it's the inclusion of Marin in her position and Nowen and Buchanan still not getting a look in this season, which has surprised me. Has that surprised you as well?
Not really. Emma obviously doesn't fancy Nowen, full stop. And Buchanan doesn't actually inspire any confidence when you do see her. I think I don't know whether she's just fallen out of favour with Emma. I think that we now have better options. And I think she's dropped down the pecking order. And I think that with no Millie, it wasn't a surprise that Jess was paired with Miolda, because I think Jess is always the quotes junior partner. And maybe that is why Marin was in there, and Marin is sort of just reinventing herself, to be perfectly honest. She came back last season when we really needed her, and she was fantastic. And she was great again on Saturday. So, no, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Buchanan, whether she's going to be happy sitting on the bench, because she is sort of third choice now. So, but... whenever she comes on, she doesn't really look at it. But I suppose it's very difficult when you're a substitute and you're not playing regularly to sort of impress.
Yeah, Simon, I wonder if, you know, listening to Clayton there, that maybe that Buchanan and now on the defenders that Emma thinks, well, if we're going to play in a three, either of those two can come in. But when it's a two, she maybe doesn't have that trust in them.
Yeah, yeah. I think like Clayton said, I think Buchanan, she's going to make two or three mistakes during the game. And perhaps having that three would give her that backup then of having the other two, Jess and Millie, to help her out. I mean, she's fantastic when she carries the ball forward and she sort of steps into midfield with it. She's fantastic. But then defending, she can be a bit, yeah, a bit iffy. And now, and I really don't understand that. I thought she was fantastic when she played before she went on loan. But that's it. We don't make those decisions, do we, luckily?
Yeah, it's one of those things about going on loan sometimes is that you're out of the loop and you come back and you start again from scratch. And there are a number of options ahead of her, as we see. Now, the first sort of moment of the game I want to talk about is the opening goal. And it stemmed from Sophie Ingle in a 184th WSL appearance, and that's the most by any player in the WSL era. She cut off the passing lane, played a 1-2 with Sam Kerr, released Lauren James. She left Liverpool's defence for dust and put us 1-0 up. Sophie's taken a bit of criticism early this season that perhaps she shouldn't be in the team much anymore. But, you know, throughout this game, I think she showed her importance and her quality, her intelligence as well. And, you know, 184 appearances, I think, as well. We need to congratulate her on that.
Absolutely. I think Sophie's one of those players that does get criticism, and she's easy to sort of have a little snipe at, but she's somebody who, when she's gone, we'll miss her. I'm absolutely sure of that. I think she's a cracking player. She might not be the flashiest, but she gets her job done. Maybe she has started the season a bit slower than she normally does and what we're used to, but I thought she was excellent on Saturday. And it's quite interesting watching her playing such a defence-splitting pass. That's not really something you immediately identify her with. But no, I thought she was great. And it was fantastic to get that record. I was looking at the list of appearances, and it looks like that, I mean, depending on how much longer she's going to play at Chelsea, that Millie's probably going to overtake her before not too long. I think she's only about 15 behind her, but she played really well.
Yeah, Simon, agree with that on Sophie?
Yeah, I'd actually written that down on some notes. Like Clayton said, I'm not sure we'll fully appreciate her until she's gone. But she's just a fantastic player. Simple things, but really, really well. We had a guy sitting behind us the United game when we won the league a couple of seasons ago, and he didn't stop moaning about her. He was one of these people that was Emma Hayes, but in the stands. We passed it long, we should have passed it short. Passed it short, we should have passed it long. And he was digging Sophie Ingle out all the time. So Verity and I took it upon ourselves just to sing the Sophie Ingle song for the rest of the game. Yeah, but an absolutely fantastic player. Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm getting a sort of John Obi Mikel vibe, so that every season he's been retired, he's got better and better.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah. And that people don't appreciate them at the time. But yeah, I think when you've got the dynamic midfield around her of Cuthbert and especially now Nuskin as well, the limitations of her game, which is probably her pace now, you don't see as much. And her intelligence is insane, the way she is able to put herself in positions to stop forward passes as she did then. But Clayton, Liverpool did hit back straight away. And I was impressed with Van der Sanden up front for them. I think she caused us problems all game. And I was a bit concerned at the time that we might struggle without Millie in the team, you know, at the back. They did look a bit shaky, but it was a poor moment sort of all round, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was absolutely gutted because the chant, "You'll never beat Jess Carter," and I've never ever seen her beaten, but she was completely done up by the ball behind her. And God bless her, she tried to get back. And unfortunately, it went in. But no, you're absolutely right about Amanda Sanders. She was a real handful. And she did really, really well, considering she didn't have much support. And I thought she bothered us. She really did. I didn't, if I had to look at one area on Saturday, and you have to look very closely to find things wrong with this team, but I thought the back four looked a bit shaky at times. And I don't know whether that, I mean, obviously, if you keep changing the back four, you keep changing the goalkeeper, that's going to happen. But I mean, you know, I think one of the things is when we played Liverpool last season, I mean, obviously, we lost in that farcical first game, but even the game that we played at home, we didn't, I think, was it in injury time we scored a winner? We won 2-1. But they were a very, very difficult side to play against. And I you know, we did really well to do what we did on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been impressed with Matt Beard-Simon. We spoke to him on this podcast last summer. Liverpool, you know, one of those things, they beat an Arsenal away this year at the Emirates 1-0. They knew the weaknesses to attack, and luckily we did hold firm sort of after that goal, and we steadied the ship quite well, but could have been a lot worse, couldn't it? And although the defence didn't seem shaky, I don't think they did get to trouble Mrzic that much.
No, I rewatched it today. Like I said, I didn't really get a chance to watch it on Saturday, watched the second half. But she didn't really have much to do, and they didn't really bother us. That Van der Sande, and she's just a beast of a player. But they didn't, she didn't have any saves either, did she, Mrzic?
She made
just one where Eve cleared it off the line.
Yeah.
But like Clayton said again, it's chopping and changing as well. Bringing Marin in and the goalkeeper, sometimes I suppose that can affect you. But he sets them up well as well, doesn't he, Matt Beard?
Yeah.
I've heard whispers about him coming back as well, potentially.
Yeah, I do wonder
coming back to Chelsea, but.
Well, Paul Wins-Danny's making the list, apparently, so we'll see.
Yeah, good. We'll see about that one.
Yeah. As you said, Clayton, we did sort of steady the ship quite quickly, and sort of 10 minutes after that, we're back in front. Probably my favourite goal of the game, to be honest. And I know Lauren had two great goals, but her cross for this was superb. And you know, the intelligence of Aggie Beaver-Jones to get off her marker and head home for a young player, you know, 4 goals in 4 games. It's exciting, isn't it? Because we haven't really had that recently from Chelsea, you know, a young women's team, such as a young player coming through. Surprised that she stuck around actually this season, but she's taken her chance and perhaps a bit unlucky not to be with the England squad in the call up today.
Yeah, I think it's, well, my own personal opinion, I think it's probably a squad too early. But maybe just being with them and getting the atmosphere, not necessarily playing, maybe that would have been a thing. But the goal was just, I don't think it's been talked enough how she took it. The header was just, it was deflected. It wasn't, she used the speed of the ball, and she didn't bang it in with her forehead. She just sort of flicked it, and it just completely bamboozled the keeper. And it was brilliant. And it was, I think it just showed her football intelligence. I think every goal that she scored has been different. And it's so exciting. It really, really is exciting. I mean, in years gone by, Sam Kerr has been sort of holding up the attack, and she's the one been scoring the goals, and perhaps it hasn't been enough in terms of people assisting, but in terms of goal contribution. But wow, I mean, what a bonus! And we didn't have to spend any money on it. Fantastic, yeah, brilliant. Really good goal.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, as you saw on the TV, I do sit very close to Emma Hayes at Stamford Bridge, practically assistant manager at this stage. But there was lots of conversations throughout the game between her and Aggie, and it's her first start. She's playing on the right. Well, she hasn't. I don't think she's done that this season. I think she's come on up front or on the left. And you know, she did make mistakes. She did give the ball away. She did choose the wrong pass at the wrong time. But you know, there's lots of things, as Clayton said, that are positive about her performance, and I think we're going to see a lot more of her as the season progresses, and I think she will stay the season.
She looks a fantastic player. Really, really good. And you can't fail to learn from whoever it is. Lauren James, JRK, Sam Kerr, Mia Fischel, any of those. Any young player is going to learn from those players and take parts of their game as well and add it to her natural game. Perhaps use more as an impact sub at the moment. Give her a couple of run-outs sort of here and there. And I was surprised she wasn't in the England squad, to be honest. I get that it might be a bit early, but when you've got Ebony Salmon and even Beth Mead's come back, isn't she?
Yeah.
I'm sure Aggie's played more minutes than she has at the moment. Maybe I'm wrong. But like you say, her goals have just all been different as well. And looks a natural talent. I mean, she was fantastic at Everton, wasn't she, last year? Saw a couple of the games and she scored a few goals. But just amazing to see someone like that coming through. I mean, since I've been going and sort of the few years that I've watched, I can't really think of anyone else. There was, Emily Murphy sort of come on and burst on and scored a few goals. But nothing like this. She looks brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, we always get messages from the Everton Women Supporters Group asking to take her back. And when we played up there, they said they were going to try and keep her off the coach. She stayed at Everton. That's how much they loved her there. I don't think she scored many goals up there either, but her impact on the team was obviously felt. Obviously, playing with some better players, I suppose the opportunities come a bit easier in front of goal. But this one was really well taken. And then the second half sort of just steps up a gear, Clayton. I don't think we was particularly sluggish in the first half, but they went up the gears, and the 3-1 goal from Lauren James, they made Liverpool go long, which they hadn't really done in the first half, and Liscombe won the header. Sam Kerr gives it to James, and doesn't look like much is on, but then Lauren James has got the ball, so all of a sudden it's 3-1.
It was interesting, actually, because I thought at the beginning of the second half that Liverpool pressed us more. He made the half-time substitution, and I thought they looked slightly better, and I was sort of concerned, but I just thought it was an interesting change of tactic. But then, as you say, and the thing is with that third goal, and maybe even with the first goal, Lauren does something, and I don't know how she does it, but she looks like she hasn't actually hit the ball that hard, but she has. And the way that she can actually direct it away from keepers, she just finds the furthest point. Fabulous goal. Fabulous goal. And, you know, Sam not getting the goal in this game, but she was contributing. That was a very intelligent ball, I thought, playing out to Lauren. And I suppose you do that and then you just sit back and admire.
Yeah, which I suppose, Simon, you know, talking of Sam Kerr, I thought had a very good game, that we don't need to rely on her to score every week, one or two goals for us to win games, and there's goals all over the pitch now. We'll see another side to Sam, which I think, again, highlights her, you know, quality, and second for the Ballon d'Or, wasn't she, this year? Just adding more strings to her bow, which maybe you wouldn't expect from a player of her age and experience.
No, she played really well. Say her hold up was fantastic and bringing other people in. Last season we relied on her. This season it's proving that we can take her out of the team if she needs a rest, and God, she needs a rest, that girl. She's gonna fly to Australia again, isn't she, in a couple of weeks' time. So it gives us the opportunity to rest her again. She's I can't speak highly enough of her. You know what I think of her, really. She's brilliant. And if she's not scoring, she's helping other people score, bringing other people into the team and just playing the way she did. If she had a scored, obviously, player of the match, because that's how it goes, isn't it? Sam Kerr scores, player of the match.
Yeah, well, she played the pass back to Ingle for the first goal. She played the pass to Lauren James for the second goal. She gets the assist for the third goal. I don't know if she does get the assist or not, because I think Lauren takes too many touches, but she plays the ball to Lauren. So, you know, involved in all aspects apart from scoring, which obviously is new for her. And then Aggie Beaver-Jones comes off, playing for Johanna Ritten-Cameron, and this player has been a little bit Marmite to many people, but she made an instant impact in this game, and she's been performing, you know, really well this season. Down that right-hand side, ball across, and Lauren James is there in the right place to get a hat-trick. You know, Cameron, what's your thoughts on her and her sort of stepping up? Do you think that's because of the performances of someone like Beaver-Jones making her sort of push for that place?
Yeah, I think that whenever she came on last season, you thought, right, she's going to do it this game. She's going to do this game. She didn't quite do it. No lack of effort. Her final pass was not great. This season, it's changed. Noticeably, I thought when she played against Brighton at home, I thought she was really... I mean, I think she sort of made huge impact. I think she came on at half-time, didn't she? And I think she changed things a lot against Brighton. And I think scoring against Villa gave her a huge amount of confidence. Because that was the first league goal, wasn't it? I know she scored in the Champions League, but that was her first league goal. And I thought she was excellent when she came on, and she's now doing what we expect her to do. Yes, perhaps Aggie being there, but also you wonder, you know, with my favourite not being there, Guro, whether she sort of stepped up and realised that we need her to create. Because obviously losing the number of assists that Guro contributes. And maybe that's something Emma said to her. Who knows? But it certainly worked. I mean, the two assists you got on Saturday were very good. Very intelligent use. I did have to laugh because I think Lauren absolutely flattened Nushkin, didn't she, when she scored? Sort of gone unnoticed, which absolutely flattened her and a Liverpool defender at the same time. But yeah, no, she's, I think it's very promising signs from Johanna.
Yeah, I mean, as Clayton says, Simon, she set up the fifth goal as well. The Liverpool left back Hines, the captain, had a terrible game, to be honest. I think she was at fault for, or at least three of the goals, getting beaten on that left hand side. But yeah, what we've been asking for from Cameron is goals and assists, and she's providing that. And you know, you've got players like Kirby and Jessie Fleming on the bench, and who's going to get that starting space? And her name's right up there now, isn't it?
Yeah, she offers us something different as well. I think her pace is superb. I mean, where we sit, we're sort of closer to her in that second half at King's Meadow, and a different kind of player to any other that we've got. And she is adding that final pass and the goals. Like, I just wonder as well, like Clayton said about Guru as well, if we're playing better as a team without her and the goals are being spread more. No, sort of Neves playing on that left-hand side. And I just sort of was wondering the other day about it and whether things would be different if she was in the team. It's a bit unknown. It's a bit sort of left field, literally.
Yeah, literally. And I think we're playing sort of without Guru is, you know, almost with two number 10s to start the game off. And then adding that width as the game goes on, especially when Fleming plays, you know, it's very central and allows the likes of Charles to overlap on that left-hand side, as we saw in Madrid for that first goal. But as you say, you know, I don't speak about Wrighton's quality. When she's come back, will be just as good, if not a better team for that presence. I just want to touch on the fifth goal, Clayton, from Nuskan. I thought was excellent on Saturday and has been the highlight of the new signings for me. What have you made of her so far this season and, of course, in the game on Saturday?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think the thing that, I mean, apart from what she brings to the team, which is an energy, a goal threat, and just generally a really busy player, is the fact that she's just slotted in. I mean, there's been no settling in period for her. There's been no sort of she'll get used to us and all the rest of it. From the first minute that she was in the side, she just looked like she knew what she was doing. And I've been incredibly impressed with her. I think such a shrewd signing, such a good shine. I mean, what's interesting is that she basically has provided something different. And if you basically looked at our side over the last couple of years, you wouldn't have said, oh, we're missing this sort of player. But goal-scoring midfielder, fabulous tackler. I mean, she's got this sort of, it's trademark now, isn't it? It's a slide tackle. And every time she does it, you think, oh, the ref's going to give a foul. And it's not, because it isn't. So, yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, hats off to the recruitment for that signing. I mean, just very, very good.
Yeah, she's becoming one of my favourites very quickly. Just sort of the last thing, Simon, that's sort of gone under the radar as well. You know, five goals scored, all by players aged 22 and under, which I don't think you think of with this Chelsea team.
No. I didn't realise that, to be honest. But there has been a big shift, hasn't there, in the age, if you think of it like that. Neil and Magda going. So it brought the average age down. Yeah, I didn't even realise that, but that's a very good stat.
Yeah.
Look good for the next few years. Very good.
I did steal it from someone else. It's not mine. I just heard it. And we did I should have done. We did do a player of the match poll as usual when we win. Sophie Ingall got 3%, Aggie Beaver-Jones 5%, Sherkin Niskan 8%, and the runaway winner with 84% was Lauren James. So no surprise there. Before we go for a quick break, I suppose we should talk about attendances or the lack of it. At Stamford Bridge, just over 12,000 there for this one. Clayton, I am of the belief that 12,000 at Stamford Bridge is better than 3,500 at King's Meadow. But there is obviously work to do when we're looking at our rivals like Arsenal and now Manchester United playing at, you know, their home grounds, on what the club needs to be doing to get more fans at these fixtures.
Yeah, it is disappointing. There's a lot of chat about it at the moment, and I do happen to know through a different hat that I wear that the club are trying really, really hard to address the situation. I mean, one could sort of be quite simplistic about this and say lower the prices. And, you know, it's not quite that simple, but that would be a huge start. The pricing is just wrong. I mean, I know that it costs the club a lot of money to have games at Stamford Bridge, but they do have to look about it. I mean, you know, it's all very well saying, oh, we can get X number of people through the door for 30 quid, or you can get a hell of a lot more people through the door for 10 quid. And it is something the club are looking at. And I think that the other thing that is quite difficult is the actual fixtures when they are, and people getting used to the fact that we're going to have more games at Stamford Bridge and when we're playing at King's Meadow. I have heard people say, oh, we didn't know we were playing this game or what have you. But, I mean, if you're on social media, if you're on any sort of social media, the club are advertising it as much as they possibly can. But whether they're hitting the right audience or not, I don't know. And I think that's something that they are trying to address.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Simon, I look at Arsenal, I think they've done it very well, but it's taken them time. Let's not forget that. You know, they do a fixed rate fee. They sell at the bottom, then they start opening up the top. So we haven't tried to do. They've tried to split the prices between the best seats in the house, which hasn't worked. You know, what's your thoughts on it, really?
I think that's the main thing, isn't it? That Arsenal have sell. I mean, like this game coming up against us is £15 everywhere, and I think that's where I get it wrong. I know people that have paid £50 in the middle of the West End. Chatting to somebody the other day, two of them have paid £50 sort of weeks ago, and then the day before, there's a 15% off code that you can use, or free mobile 2-for-1, and then somebody else has turned up and paid £25. I think it should be that price all across the board. Dylan keeps telling me, I preach to the kids, don't worry about other people, you just do what you've got to do. So when I say about Arsenal to Dylan, and he's always digging me out, you always tell me not to worry about other people. But it is, and I don't know why they get it so right, Arsenal. It pains me so much that they do. Is it the supporters? Do they have more supporters than us? Is it tourists? We have a different sort of set of tourist fans, maybe. I really don't get it. But Chelsea are doing it wrong, whatever it is, in my opinion. I mean, we can go on Saturday because I was working, but just that whole sort of new package of Stamford Bridge games, I think, is just out of order, really.
Sorry to interrupt you, Simon, but I do actually think that they know they've got it wrong and they are going to try to get it right, whether they can or not. And I think the point that Dean makes is that they've been doing it longer, that Arsenal have been doing it longer than we have. And I have been told that they do liaise with Arsenal. They are learning from Arsenal and hopefully they will get it right. I think the worrying thing for me is the fact that we have got the best team and the best manager. And it shouldn't be a hard sell. If the time comes when we're not the best, then it's going to be even more difficult. I mean, that is my concern.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what Arsenal do
I've
well
seen all these
is market.
Sorry, Danko.
The Lionesses that they've got, Leah Williamson, Beth Mead, now got Russo as well. You know, they're highly marketable players. And although we've got, you know, Millie Bright, Frank Kirby, Lauren James coming through now, you know, a good English core of players, we haven't really pushed that as a club. And to give the new owners credit, I mean, the old owners didn't try to do this at all either. I mean, we played Tottenham in 2019 and a Champions League game that no one remembers against Wolfsburg at Stamford Bridge. So it is from scratch, and yeah, they've made mistakes, but hearing from Clayton that they're learning is good news. I mean, they're going to play the Champions League on Thursday with just the East End lower open, which perhaps they weren't going to sell many more tickets anyway, but it don't look like they've even bothered to try. And not every team is playing at a big stadium, so why bother playing Paris FC and BK Hacken at Stamford Bridge when you don't need to? But maybe it's getting that familiarity and stuff like that. So I don't know, you're big on this, but the loyal fans sort of being taken advantage of that buy their tickets early. And as we've mentioned then, you know, 15% off codes and 2-for-1s for the newbies. Do you think that's putting more people off?
I think it's upsetting people more than putting them off, to be honest. Like, people, we didn't do the Stamford Bridge package because it would have been just too much. But I know people that did wish they hadn't now because their seats weren't great, aren't great. And then they see this offer coming along as well, and they could have saved themselves a fair bit of money on top of their Kings Meadow season tickets as well. I took part in a focus group about Pride of London a little while back, and we have got the best location in London. We are London, aren't we? We're sort of 10 minutes, 15 minutes from the West End. Whereas Arsenal are wherever Arsenal are. Is it Woolwich still that they play, or is it Hertfordshire? Whereas we should perhaps promote that a little bit more as well, where we are. I mean, everybody knows we're Chelsea and we're Stamford Bridge, but we are the closest team to central London, aren't we? Oxford Street, Regent Street, Knightsbridge. That sort of thing as well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know whether we can promote that as part of it as well. Yeah, open top bus parades with our line and Christmas lights.
Speaking with Nathan, who is involved with the tours at Chelsea, and they use the London Pass at Stamford Bridge, so people can come on the London Pass and take the tour. And they have, you know, they had Tottenham officials at Stamford Bridge over the summer, and they said, "Are you busy today?" And they said, "Oh, not really, just sort of 500-600 people." And that is, you know, record number of visitors for Tottenham. I know there's not much to look at apart from the new stadium, no traffic cabinet, etc. But, you know, that is a, you know, a benefit of where we're located. You know, and just bring on Mixlers, I just looked at it, you know, Rich saying, I think people forget Arsenal were also getting rubbish attendances a couple of years ago. And I think they rode that Euros wave, as we said, better than anyone else. And, I don't think it's too late for Chelsea, but they're going to need to learn fast, and it'd be interesting to see what they do next year in terms of fixtures and stuff. Clayton, any ideas that you would put forward to the club if you was asked about what to do?
Well, I think the club are in a difficult... Well, I think the cost thing more than anything else. I think that they've got to lower the cost. I mean, as an example, I went to the semi-finals, as sure we all did, against Barcelona. I decided to treat myself on the £30 tickets, which, you know, front row, east, middle tier, use of the bar. And then when the first game of the season came up, I thought, why not? I'll do that again. And it gone up to £50. And I'm not, you know, I got a season ticket for the men, a season ticket for the women, and I cannot justify paying £50 to go and see the women play. You know, with the best will in the world. I mean, maybe if it comes to semi-final of the Champions League, if something, maybe, but it is price. It is price. And I think they have to target local schools, even if they're getting the kids in for free, build up an atmosphere, get them hooked. You know, the players are great. You know, the players engage with all the fans, either at King's Meadow and at Stamford Bridge. And they're doing as much as they possibly can. And I just think that you just need to get people in there. Just sort of let them experience it. And I think that take a loss to build a following. And I think it will happen. And I think the thing is that the women's game is just going to get bigger and bigger. And so people are going to, more people are going to get involved. But the fact is that we know that we have been bought by people who don't like losing money, and they will get it right. Whether they get it right in time, I don't know. But yeah, I think they have to take a loss to see an eventual gain. I think it's all about money at the moment. It's tight for a lot of people, and you know, whereas you could take a family, maybe £25, two adults and two kids. Now it's £50, and £50's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's what I sort of said on our Discord about Thursday. You know, they're not going to open up another stand because it costs them money. And they're not in the business of losing money. So although the stand lower is sold out, and you can still get hospitality tickets. Though I clicked on, I think, the one you said, Clayton, in the middle of the Eagle stand, and that was £140.
What?
For the Champions section, which is the halfway line. The one to the end, near the corner flag, was £35 a ticket, but the middle of that section above the dugout was £140 for the ticket.
Okay, so my ticket for that Barcelona semi-final was... It was on the side, but it wasn't that far on the side. I would say it was like halfway between the goal and the penalty area. And that was 30 quid. And I can't believe it's a cool chap. I mean, you don't get anything. You don't get hospitality. It just means you've got access to a decent bar, but you still have to pay for your own drinks and food if you want. So it's not like it's proper hospitality.
I thought about it for about 0.5 seconds and clicked off the page. Right, we're going to go for a break now. We're quickly going to look ahead to that Champions League match against Paris FC in the short bit of time we've got. Before we do that, a reminder that the latest issue of Kings Meadow Chronicle, your Chelsea FC Women fanzine, is available to purchase now. Kings Meadow Chronicle is written for the fans, by the fans. Gives you an unedited fan view of the goings-on around Chelsea FC Women. Writers include Clayton Beerman, who's with us tonight, Sophie Spittle, Simon Kimmel, who's also with us tonight, Harry Edwards, Rebecca Grasby, and many others. The best way to get your copy is via a subscription. These are available for £12 plus postage at www.kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. Alternatively, you can just buy issue 7 for £2 plus postage. It will also be available at Kings Meadow on Sunday for the Leicester game, so you can get a copy there. There's only less than 40 left if you want issue 7. Of issue 8 coming out after Christmas when we start back in January. So make sure you pick up your copy now and we will be right back.
When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates? Follow online commentary? Listen to the radio? Let's face it. It's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's matchday problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords. It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to Westmoke Kings Meadow. Time then to look ahead to that second Champions League group stage clash versus Paris FC, this Thursday, the 23rd of November. Back at Stamford Bridge, and Clayton, after dropping that 2 points in Madrid, is this a must-win already for us at home?
Yeah, I think so, sadly. I mean, it really does grate when you say drop. We didn't drop anything.
Was robbed.
You know, it's just so annoying. Yeah, I mean, we should win. It'll be a tough game, I suspect. All we have to do is ask Arsenal, don't we, about how tough Paris FC are. Not to be taken lightly. I don't for one minute think that we will take it lightly. But unfortunately, because of what happened last week, yes, it is must win. Definitely.
Yeah, Simon, do you think there'll be, we made 6 changes from Madrid to Liverpool, a similar number or maybe even more for Paris?
I think there'll be a few players coming in. Yeah, I've got my team written down. I don't know if we're going to do that in a minute, are we? They're no mugs, are they? Not to help Wolfsburg as well. Didn't they name the qualifier, the second qualifier?
Yeah, they did.
So we can't sort of go too mad with changes. Perhaps get the game safe at half time and then make the changes second and a half. But they're no mugs. Even without Alsu.
Well, with her, she can play.
Oh, can she?
Yeah, she's available for selection.
Oh, yeah,
Paris FC are second in the league at the moment behind Lyon. They played 8, won 7 and lost 1. 21 points ahead of Paris Saint-Germain, but they have played 2 games more. So they're 6 points ahead with two games in hand. So yeah, no Muggs, Clayton. And do you think playing at Stamford Bridge, I know we're, you know, just that one stand, could that impact at all on a game like this? When you come out as a player and you're going to see three empty stands.
Yeah.
Are there any mental impact, do you think?
It might do. It might do, but I think Emma's too professional for that. And I think the people that are there are very close to the pitch, much like Kings Meadow. So, yeah, I mean, it is a great shame. It is a great shame. But I think we're professional enough to sort of take it on the chin. It's not like they're going to turn up and go, crikey, we thought there were going to be 40,000 here tonight. I think they will be expecting that, and I think the team will just basically be professional enough to sort of get the job done.
Yeah, let's go through a team selection then. This is, I'll go through mine first, Simon, then you can change who you've got in yours. So I think Misovic is going to stay in goal. Lawrence back at right back. Brighton Buchanan as a partnership with Neve Charles as left back. Ingle and Nusken playing in the midfield with Kirby, Fleming and Ritten Cameron behind Mia Fischel, which is, I didn't write down how many changes, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, well, there's 6 again, which shows the strength of the squad. But what's your lineup compared to that?
I've gone Musovic in goal. Charles, I've gone Nguyen as well. Nguyen, Bright, Lawrence. Just trying to read it, sorry. Cuthbert, I've gone Yankovic. I'm not sure, is she injured or is she just... who well, else? Nusken. James, Fischel and JRK as well. It's strange because you're forgetting Musovic as well, and nobody, not Musovic, I said that earlier on, Lupos. Is she injured?
Yeah, she is. She's not.
Well, long coat again, is she?
I'm not sure. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who knows what's wrong with her, but I know that she's injured. Although, to be honest, I did see her in Lidl in Kingston 2 weeks ago. And she seemed to be moving freely. But I think there's a slight difference between shopping down the aisles and sort of running down the wing, isn't it? Yeah,
Lidl is, though, to be fair.
That's very true.
Don't get feisty in the middle aisle.
Oh, the Lidl. Yeah, she was actually in the middle aisle at times. I felt I was stalking her. I was like walking around, staring at her, but I didn't approach her.
Until I scored
it out of the shop.
What's your thoughts, Clayton, on the lineup? I mean, I've left Lauren James out. She just scored a hat trick. I've left Beaver Jones out. I've left Sam Kerr out. I don't know. I just feel like this season you can change quite a few players and the level doesn't drop at all.
Yeah, I do. I think that very much is the case. I do actually think that the side will be very similar to Saturday. I agree. I think Lawrence will come in at right back. I think Millie will come back, but I think Jess Carter will continue alongside her. I think that Fleming will probably come in for Ingle, but I think Cuthbert will play. And I do actually, I think even though she needs a rest, she doesn't look 100%. I think that Sam will play because I think that because this is a must-win side, a must-win game, I think Emma will go strong. And as I say, I think it will be quite similar to the lineup on Saturday. But then again, I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, well, I left Jess out because she had that strap into her thigh, which I think is a cut given where the bandages were. And then Erin did take that big knock into the advertising board. Which sounded like a gunshot at the time, but it was just her knee, and she did ice it when she got subbed. She spoke to the physio, so I thought maybe she would be left out for that. Because obviously, there is a game again on Sunday, but we'll see. As we say, I'll forget this by the time we come to record that podcast, so we won't know. And another thing I forget is our predictions, but we'll do them anyway. Clayton, I'll come to you first. Your prediction for Chelsea versus Paris FC?
3-0.
3-0. Simon?
3-2. Nervy 3-2.
Oh, that's not nice on a Thursday. I'm going to go 3-1 with Paris scoring in the first 2 minutes. There you go. Put your money on that. Let us know your predictions for the team and the score by before Thursday, obviously, otherwise it don't count. We're actually just cheating. We're on, obviously, all the social medias, Twitter at, or X, as we call it, at Mokings Mellow, Instagram at Went to Mokings Mellow. You can also email us at Went to Mokings Mellow at gmail.com. So just get it in there. Sadly, that is all we've got time for this week. Huge thank you to you, Clayton, for joining us.
Absolutely loved it. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Always good to hear you. Whether it's on the Fancast or Went to Mokings Mellow, always a favourite evening to hear Clayton.
Thank you.
On a show. And Simon, good to see you. And a much improved Wi-Fi. Most improved Wi-Fi of the week award goes to Simon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I've had a little tweak and, yeah, sorted it all. But thanks for having us back on as well. Good to see you, Clayton. Heard you a few times on the men's podcast as well. So,
yeah, nice good to be
in such good company.
Yeah, we will be back. Actually, we're going to try and record on Friday to reflect on that Paris FC game and look ahead to the game against Leicester on Sunday. We are supposed to be joined by Sophie Spittle and another, that whoever that is to be confirmed. If not, it'll just be me and Sophie. So make sure you join us then. I am on Twitter at Dean Mears. Simon is at Kingman Simon and Clayton is at Goldie59 if you'd like to follow us there. And before we go, if you do love what we do and want to support the show, you can sign up to a Patreon season ticket for £5 per month and help the show continue producing content for you. You also get to listen to the summer series, 30 Years of Chelsea FC Women, interviews with Tony Farmer, George Michaelas and Matt Beard, the Liverpool manager, are on there exclusively for our Patreons. So if you do like what we do and want to sign up, that is a treat for you there. You do that at www.patreon.com/WentsMokingsMellow. Thank you for listening. Until next time, from Stamford Bridge to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.